McDonald's. I voted you in, why aren't you responding? Can you see me from your tower, man? I'm down here at the bottom. I sent a million tweets in autumn, and I'm sure you got them. There probably is a problem, cause your POTUS now or something. I know the Secret Service keeps disturbances from bothering. But anyways, fuck it, what's been up, man? How's your daughters? My girlfriend's pregnant too, I'm about to be your father. If I have a daughter, guess what I'ma call her? I'll name her Melania. I saw the
bullying. It's kind of a funny song. I was going to play it for you guys. Just a spoof on the Eminem song about a Trump tard that's let down by Trump. And I just thought it was kind of funny.
I make fun of everything.
Yeah, just thought it was funny. Yeah. I know Andy's been on, and we got Tom in Utah. So, Andy, how you doing, Andy?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I got to throw out an apology, and everybody who knows that they need an apology, they know it. Hey, so let's just talk about this. What's the big elephant in the room here? The big elephant in the room is the internet. Okay, so we're looking at the internet. Look at how we can communicate better. We're doing this alternative media stuff. We're doing all this wonderful stuff on the alternative media and all this stuff. But think about the other side of the internet. What did it do? That's how we got the statement, living in your mom's basement all these years and stuff. The internet has destroyed the entire capacity of the world here. We've lazied everybody up. The internet is the reason why we have office buildings that are towering, so these people can be on the internet all the time doing all these claims and stuff for insurance or whatever it might be, or stocks and all this stuff. The internet has actually just taken us away from what we really are. And what we really are is people who live on farms. People who have their own food, their animals, their crops, and all this stuff. And that was the generations of people growing up, the families that grow up. They were growing up to live on the farm. I mean, the Waltons are a pretty good, you know, definition to that. That the generations lived in their house. Now, did they have a farm? No, they didn't. These people moved out and did stuff. They didn't actually move out, but they went and did stuff, but they came home and stuff. And so we've gotten away from the actual tradition of what family really is. And the internet is probably the worst thing that ever happened to this world.
Wow. That's a pretty good point. I would rank TV in there too with it, but I mean,
well, it's not that.
But yes, the internet is definitely an issue, and it could be used for a lot of good. Same with the TV, but unfortunately, it's not.
Yeah, the internet can be very problematic depending on which angle you're looking at it from.
Right, that's a good point.
When you look at it, in the children's,
I tell my mom, the Bible's on the internet.
But the kids are lost in this thing. They're lost in video games. They're lost in YouTube. They're lost in all these different spots. And if without the internet, these kids would have to be doing something else. They couldn't be stuck in their rooms.
They can't. You can't turn them loose in the public anymore. I've got a 16-year-old son. I'm a full-time father. And a single father at that.
College graduates can't even get jobs now. I mean, what are they going to do?
I can't turn my son loose to go play like I used to play when I was a child. There's monsters out there. I can't even put him in a public school. I got a homeschooling. Mm-hmm. So kids have no other option other than take the convenience and safety, which is the cell phones and computers and technology. They've removed something from society and added something else to dumb them down, mm-hmm. to make them lethargic, and to make them comply.
Feed them a bunch of crap.
Yeah. Poison them.
Right. Crap.
When I was a child, anybody having cancer was rare. It was like, so-and-so got cancer from what? Oh, they smoked 3 packs a day. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but the internet's the least of your problems now. I mean, the internet is really the least of your problems.
Yeah, but hey, that's kind of a cop out then, because the internet's been here for so long, so we can make.
It's only been since '93, and it was limited.
All right, so it's '93. So what are we at? 21 years old of the internet,
yeah,
and so now we're already making excuses. But we're already making excuses for it. If we don't look at the aspects,
I don't agree with your premise, but that's not. I'm not making excuses.
No, you know what? I did not call up asking somebody to agree with me. So that's cool. I'm just throwing this out here. The internet has changed everything. We've turned from I mean, remember back before 93.
The telephone changed everything like that. TV changed
No, it didn't. Not like that. Not like the internet.
Newspapers changed everything like that. Think of Benjamin Franklin and what he went through with a freaking printing press. And how many people were standing around back then saying, oh, no, that's bad. You can't have that.
Okay,
the TV
so I'm asking
was good
you.
But. It's the nefarious purposes that went behind it. It was the subliminal stuff that was hitting the subconscious and programming people in the late 50s, early 60s, up to what we got now with the digital signal that just pumps this subfrequency into people. That's why you'll sit there and binge watch Mel's Diner for 4 hours and drool and not know why you're sitting there watching it. It's not what you're watching. It's what's being pumped through to make people lethargic.
The flicker rate.
There's good things with the technology, but it's the technology
to
take this information and these tools and use it for nefarious reasons. Computers are great. I mean, if they use this technology for surgery like they're doing, the robotics, the AI, it would run like a very well-oiled machine. We would become an intelligent species. But it's the monsters
that
use it for data mining and cornering people and setting people up.
Well, 80% of the internet, 80% of all internet websites are porn.
Porn, yeah.
Okay, let's go with the porn thing. Let's go. So, could you actually go through your mind right now of all the good things that the internet has given us versus all the bad things? And now you have to really go deep, though. Hang on, real quick. You got to go deeper than just that very thought right there, because there's so many things on the internet that are much more deeper than the area that you're using right now. The area I'm using, the area that most of us are using.
But websites, when I said 80% of the websites on the internet are porn, but 80% of the internet doesn't even involve websites.
Just server-based stuff, bouncing around.
You know, a lot of server stuff, like for example, I'm a ham radio operator, and I use a lot of digital modes from DMR to P25 to D-Star and all that stuff. All that stuff runs through the internet. So I'm making contacts worldwide, but I'm using the internet with a radio. That's one thing that I do with the internet that has nothing to do with websites.
Okay, but on the same token, if you look at the overall web and whatnot, did that not change the world? Okay, so go back to the phone. Yeah, it changed the world. The paper, yes, it changed the world. But what changed the world most right here? The internet changed it, because look at everything that's at your fingertips right now. Porn, any information you want, talk to somebody across the nation and stuff. That was never there. That didn't come with newspapers. That didn't come with the phone. It didn't come with any of that stuff. This is phenomenal, and it changed the world, and therein lies the problem with the world, because we got too much at our fingertips. It's more power than we probably should have, because it's destroying us. Because look at what we can do. Somebody wants to throw something up their butt and wear a swimming suit, they can get on TikTok and do that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's available. Everything and anything is available on the internet. You don't think that destroyed it in any way
I think the culture of America was destroyed well before the internet.
Oh, absolutely it was, but the internet didn't help it.
The internet just exasperated, the internet just exasperated everything that was already crumbled.
It demoralized people.
So we were going to get here in 40 years, or we were going to get here in the 20 years that it took. So we got there halfway there, and it's okay. I don't think it's okay. I think this is the major big thing, and this is the thing that people aren't looking at. The internet destroyed us.
I mean, simple automation destroyed a lot of American stuff or a lot of American culture. Just simple automation.
Right.
Because, you know, people would lose work to a hydraulic hammer. People would, you know, they would lay off whole workforces because, you know, think of what Henry Ford did. Yeah, he put a lot of people to work, but he was building something that nobody else built, right? But then you think about it 20 years later in the automation and the automotive industry and how many people don't work now that should work because they got replaced by robots.
And they're doing that now? You know, and restaurants and everything else are putting robots up.
Yep. I mean, this, I think it's just been a gradual, progressive decline, and they use any tool at their advantage. And, of course, the Internet was probably thought of and conceived years and years before it was rolled out. But,
yes, it was.
You know, it was a plan, and they kind of knew what they were going to do with it. And, you know, I do see your point, Andy, but, you know, yeah, I mean, I think there's just a lot of other things merged into one. And yes, the internet is a facet, and you could use the internet for a lot of good. I mean, you know, you could have access to all these great works and research, and you know, we wouldn't have got to where we're at now without the internet in a way, because it was a lot harder to go find this information and share it and communicate it with people.
Sure.
Before the internet, so in a lot of ways, I am thankful for the.
Think of it like the bullet wound and the infection. Which one killed you?
Infection. Well,
yeah, but you,
the infection.
Hey, but you guys are thinking about what the internet gave you. What did the internet take away from you? And that's the things that we're not looking at. We're seeing how valuable it is to us and the people around us that are using it, what we would consider responsible. Think of the things that it's being used for. I mean, a lot of this stuff, banking couldn't happen without an internet. I mean, immediately, because you can't go get $200 out of an account that has $200 in it and then come back 2 minutes later and get $200 more out of it.
But
you can't.
But
the internet's been there forever.
Right, but if I was to just go back 50 years, I could say credit cards ruined America. Wow, look at their
debt. Well, you could, but not nearly as bad as the internet. Think about it. It's a world wide web. It's everywhere.
Yes.
You can get stuff from China. You want to get a Chinese recipe from a Chinese guy in China, you can pull it up. That's
absolutely
not available back in the 1950s or the 70s.
Sears and Roebuck catalog was.
Well, yeah, you know, you could buy the cookbook.
When I plugged into the internet, I knew what I was getting into way back then. I knew it was a tool devised by them. It wasn't a new tool. This is an ancient tool that's been around for a long time that humans have been playing with. As I said earlier, we went from horse and buggy to hand-drawn collider in 100 years. So mankind, yeah, he's stupid, but he's really smart and inventive, even if he reverse engineers old things. So we can do a lot in a very short amount of time. It's what we use this technology for. Nuclear power is good. It can power the whole world. But a nuclear bomb is devastating. It's what you use it for. The internet,
unfortunately, everything's been weaponized and, you know, monetized. That's the big problem.
Well, all technology was weaponized. It didn't matter what it was, whether it was the internet or nuclear energy. You know, what's worse, a nuclear bomb or a nuclear meltdown? Well, nuclear meltdown is far worse than a nuclear bomb.
I treat the internet as a weapon, and I use my enemy's weapon against them. This is Sun Tzu.
When the internet was first sold to America, it was not sold for websites. Websites didn't even hardly exist. It was sold via email. It was AOL. It was just email. You know, the first search engine on the internet was called Northern Light. Nobody ever remembers it. Nobody ever even thinks about it. That was the first search engine. It was before AOL. You know, the internet was supposed to make a lot of things work smoother. And via email, especially, because that's what they originally sold it as, is you can communicate with people worldwide in a certain amount of time, we'll be able to have everybody linked up and everybody can send everybody emails. Right? And then that got turned into websites.
And then gentlemen. So, gentlemen, do you see any way, shape, or form they could use the internet as a way against us? Because we're looking at all this stuff. See, that's what we're doing in this world right now. We're looking at how this internet is freeing us into our own new world. We're loving this stuff. It's a free. We're getting information everywhere. All this stuff is going on, and we're not looking at the way that they're using it against us. And one of the ways they're using it against us is every time you ever speak or you go to an internet thing or whatnot, it's being classified and put into a file in Utah.
Oh, so, you want to hear
something?
Everything
and anything you do.
Yeah. Right, you want to hear something weirder than that? I'll let Joe tell you the story. We have a group conversation with some people all around the world, not on the internet, really. It's on the telephone. But we talk with people all over the world. And we did an experiment about, what was it, Joe, 3 months ago?
Yeah, about 3 months.
So I'll let Joe tell you the story. Go ahead, Joe. No, I've been talking
we were talking about the aspects of how the AI... how it can pick up things. Even the new Apple iPods and things like that, they have patents on these frequencies they can pump into your brain, read your thoughts, program you. So we were testing it out. We decided to come up with a word that something that we don't discuss or talk about, just a word out of the blue. And
Wait a minute. Can I interject? Because you totally blew right by something. The same thing that's happened to everybody. You've talked about something, and all of a sudden you got an email about it, or it's sitting on a web page or something like that, and you're just like, wow, isn't that a coincidence? We were just talking about that. I was just talking about that yesterday on the telephone, and all of a sudden, bam, it pops up in my email. Or it pops up on a Facebook ad or something like that. Anyway, that's all I wanted to... Everybody's had that happen to them. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody has had that. Well, come up with the word kimchi. My son's mother's Korean. Kimchi, for those that don't know, is... rotted cabbage. They bury cabbage in the ground, let it sit there for about a year, and then dig it up, and then
hey, don't forget delicious. It's delicious. I was in Korea. I ate that. It's awesome.
Now, well, we started talking about kimchi, recipes, things like that.
Everybody had to ask a question.
It was within a few minutes. Jeff's wife started seeing stuff popping up on her screen pertaining to recipes and stuff to do with kimchi. So it works that fast.
Yeah, and we were on the telephone. We're on a telephone call.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
On a telephone call, she started getting ads on Facebook within 15 minutes of us all asking questions about kimchi, which was a roundtable discussion. I asked everybody to ask a question about kimchi, and everybody had a question, which was, what is kimchi? Are there any recipes for kimchi? What does kimchi taste like? You know, everybody asked their own little question to the group. And then, bam, 15 minutes later, there's ads popping up on Facebook for rotten cabbage.
Well, I've had that happen where, you know, just talking to the wife about something and, you know, just in a conversation and things start picking up.
That's right. Because you got your phones.
Because you got your phones.
Yes.
And some people are saying that the algorithms are so good that they almost know what you want at the same time you decide that you know what you
Absolutely.
Want. So that's a kind of a weird one, but maybe.
And the only way people would really understand this is if they were driving down the road. And all of a sudden, like they're approaching, let's just say, a Wendy's. And they get a text message from a oddball non-number that says, you're approaching Wendy's, and here's some coupons if you want a double-double.
Right.
Right?
So yeah, hey.
People would be like, well, hey, they know where I'm at. And now there's
right. Hey, so,
right around the corner.
So So, gentlemen, you're making my point here. The point is that so the internet is the worst thing that's ever happened to us. Why? Because now they're flipping, listening to everything and anything that we do, and now they're trying to sell us products. And guess what? The people who own this little thing that's recording us, they own the pet food store that you were talking about, mm-hmm. or the cat food, or the donuts you were looking for. Yeah, no, see, that's what I'm saying. So I'm going back to my premise on the same phone call. The downfall of America, or the world for that matter, is the internet. Simply because they found a way to track and trace us. They found a way to track and trace us.
They were able to do that before.
Not really. By our social security numbers. By social security numbers. Social security numbers.
It was a lot more manpower, but they still could track you down and figure you out.
Like in 1984, when cable started hitting everybody's houses and they had a cable box sitting on their TV, that cable box had a microphone in it. And they could tap right into your house and listen to the conversations. In fact, when you talk about like stuff like the Nielsen's ratings, just that alone, it was just a simpler version of exactly what you're talking about. It's not what made it bad.
But now they have full
just
control.
Made it worse.
It was
they
no
have full control
set for it, and as a result, mankind can't handle such things without it coming unspun. You have to set boundaries and guidelines. That's
even if you talk about the telephone, that was our way of communication for the longest time, was just a simple telephone. Well, in 1971. A company called Amdocs received a government contract. This is an Israeli company. They received a government contract to record every phone call in America. And you remember back then, people would say, well, if you say bomb and president in the same sentence while you're on the phone, they'll start recording you. No, they were recording everybody anyway. That's what Amdocs did. That was their job.
They started in 1913 listening in and recording, and then they put it into full effect in Nixon, I think, in 79. That's when they started really...
Well, that's when they started owning up to it.
Everything.
When they started owning up to it. It went into full...
Now,
Amdocs went into full operation in 71, but it wasn't called Amdocs. It was called... Somebody's going to call in and give me the name.
Well, I mean,
man, I don't remember what it was called back then.
No, that was the only way people could communicate with each other for a long time, on the telephone. So everybody used a telephone. And they were able to
tap on
everybody's conversation.
Let's come up to date right now. So let's go here. We're in Canada now. In Canada right now, they're passing a bill right now that says that any anti-Semitism mark, anything you've ever said in the past, it doesn't matter. The bill passes today. It hasn't. I'm not saying it's passed, but if it passes today, everything that you said in the past is going to be held against you. So it's retroactive.
Canada is the world's largest open-air insane asylum.
Yes, I agree with that.
And they have passed the craziest laws in Canada. We have two friends that we talk to twice a week that they live in Vancouver. And they've always lived in Canada. One's from New Brunswick and one is from Thunder Bay. And they absolutely fill us in on everything they're passing in Canada. And every time we talk to them, it's something, the most craziest thing. You just think, what in the world is wrong with you people up there?
How are they so docile and compliant?
We're not far behind them.
No, we're not,
because everything that they're doing up there, they'll do down here.
Right.
Well, hey, that's not as bad as all of these protests at the colleges and stuff. This is beautiful. It's wonderful. You know, all these colleges, I mean, everywhere around the country, we got colleges protesting the Palestinian war. Not that they have anything else to protest, you know, like Kim Trent.
Did we lose you? We lost Chance.
Chance.
We lost Chance, but that was a good call. I mean, he has a good point, but he hadn't thought about absolutely. That way. You know, it's something we could all chew on and think about, you know, because that, you know, my friend Lark says that, you know, this technology is one of the biggest problems. And I think that ties in with Andy's point that the globalist parasite is using this technology all to their profit, all to their benefit, take away our privacy, take away our freedoms, you know, and it'll further enslave us.
Well, it just doesn't matter about the technology, in my opinion, because it wouldn't matter what technology we would be using at this point. Even if we only still had a landline telephone, they would still be using that technology against us in the same fashion, in the same way. If they can hear everybody's conversation, they can start gearing the propaganda to countering. You're just talking to people on the phone about stuff. All of a sudden, things pop up in the newspaper. Things pop up on 60 Minutes. You know, it's the same stuff. That's never changed. Just the technology that changes, they've always had control over all the technology anyway.
Right. Absolute control over it. To the point where, they just put, you know, cutouts in to run these companies. You know, Zuckerberg is probably a Rockefeller.
Robot.
He didn't create Facebook. Musk. He didn't create that company from scratch. No. Gates is another example.
Elon Musk has never produced any evidence showing that he's the world's greatest programmer that can design rocket engines and deep underground drilling machines and maps or rockets that land back, stage one rockets that do land back on a landing pad. In the ocean, or
I mean, you can even go back to Google. The same thing with those guys. Like those guys were just installed. They didn't really come up with that whole idea. Like that was just given to them.
And who could have imagined that they'd be worth the money that they're worth today?
But whose money is it?
I guarantee it's not all theirs.
All these people have one thing in common, even though they're billionaire rivals or whatever.
What happened to the guy that owned Twitter?
Whose money is it? Because the money don't matter if it has no value. So the people that put value on the money that make them billionaires, they're all in the same club.
Right. They also share this information with the Senate and the congressmen, and they all become... Do we got another caller?
I don't know. Is that Chance again? We got... We got a break coming up, and as soon as that break's over, we got Tom in Utah and Ken in Texas. But I hadn't heard from Tom in a while, so I'm curious to hear what Tom's got to say.
Me too.
Tom's a neat character. You'll like Tom.
When it comes to the internet, I knew it was a tool that was pretty much a weapon, and I knew that I was going to use this to my advantage. I've learned so much. I've come in contact with people like y'all. You know, I started out listening to RBN, and now, years later, I'm actually
listening to Travis on RBN.
Yeah.
So, to me, that's a
you got a B actor here. Well, I never imagined I'd be doing this. I just kind of did it out of just like something to do, a hobby. Like I'm kind of pissed off with you guys.
We're going to talk about that later. As soon as we get off of here, we're going to have a conversation with Mike about this.
Well, I felt compelled. You know, the more stuff, the more answers I started figuring out and finding online, the more people I came in contact with, and. You know,
right.
Just the majority of them are just so damn dumb. You're like, oh my God, I got the internet. Right. I can't find
all right, guys.
People like
hang
it.
Tight. We got a quick break. We'll be right back and we'll get to Tom in Utah. Be right back.
Good morning, the world. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass fed and grass finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient dense, nourishing and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef.
We got Tom has been waiting patiently. Tom in Utah. Haven't heard from you in a while. Hope you're doing good, Tom.
Is there Travis in this rabble?
Yep, I'm here. How you doing, Tom? Thanks for calling in.
I'm a little embarrassed. I actually was going through my voicemail, and you tried to call me back in January. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
You're mad at me.
It's all right, Tom. I've been thinking about reaching out to you to get you back on here and talk to you again. I'm glad you called in. What's on your mind tonight? Have you been listening in?
Well, you know, I was really kind of saddened when we lost Tim and Lori on Saturday morning. Because they were providing part of the solution to the problem. In other words, what you can do on the individual level. You know, and I wish they would have something like that replacing them, where they are explaining how you can garden, even in buckets in your apartment, if you have to.
Hmm.
My daughter is actually headed to Phoenix right now. She's going to train a group of people on how to garden bucket or bucket garden when they don't have any yard or land of their, yeah.
Right. That's a really good skill. And I've heard most city lots, like if you properly garden, you can actually grow a lot of food, even on a small city lot.
If you know how.
Yeah, if you know how.
And I've seen some places that are right. I grew a garden one time.
When my dad was still alive, I grew a little garden in my backyard. My dad walked through it, and he raised hell with me. He was like, son, what are you doing? And I'm like, whoa, look at my corn and look at my carrots. And he's like, oh, you can't plant them that far apart, and you can't plant that next to that. You can't. What are you doing? And I was just like, oh, I thought he'd be proud of me because I had a little garden.
Right.
I think we'll see more of it. I mean, with the quality, quantity, prices of food right now. I would implore people to start gardening. You know, my folks do it. I know a lot of people around here in the South that do it. You know, so you can get two yields. You know, you can plant twice normally in a year around here.
Well, what happened to the people Tom was talking about? What happened to them?
Yeah.
Did Tom, your daughter went to Phoenix, you said?
Yeah, she's down there visiting a friend, but they were running a gardening program in New York City. Rooftop and window gardens and patio gardens or balcony gardens. And she was really busy. People have gotten into it because they want to, you know, have, first of all, they want to have their own fresh tomatoes or fresh produce. And they know that things are becoming a little
unaffordable,
sketchy, and they're not. Yeah. Right. And so I would hope we could get somebody back on helping the listeners of RBN.
What happened to the What happened to the people that was doing that?
Well, I hate to say it this way, but they were spending too much time in the slaughterhouse instead of in the garden. They basically were going down with diabetes and with other health issues. And of course, that's one of my areas of expertise anyway. I'm 83, pushing 84.
Wow.
And
Tom has a pretty unique take, and it's pretty interesting where he says that, you know, it's just humans weren't designed to eat meat from day one, and
a completely vegan diet is the way to go.
And there's certain health reasons why, and the way he explains it actually made a lot of sense to me. And it's a pretty interesting topic. We've covered it a little bit here, but Tom, can you sum it up on in a couple sentences on why you really believe that and why you think? And also the point that I want to really make is Tom says all the elites follow this diet.
Yeah.
And it is pretty interesting that they all lived ripe old ages.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah. For example, Kirk Douglas was dealing with his stroke and heart issues, and in 1999, he sat with me, along with Michael Douglas, who was taking care of his father, along with Olivia de Havilland, Betty White, Fran Drescher, the nanny. Anyway, there's a whole bunch, but it's the trade secret. See, if you're in the film industry, your body is your tool. It's your product. So you got to be camera ready, script ready, clear-headed, that is. And you got to be, action ready. So that's the, the trade secret of that industry. I mean, William Shatner came to me. He used to be able to sit down to a 24-inch pizza and suck it down, never share it with anybody. But he was looking like Michelin
Man.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, he was a little round at a certain Raymond point
Burr.
In his life.
He was looking like Raymond Burr, but in the end, he got to ride that rocket, take that 10-15 minute trip through the arc of the space, right? He would have never been able to do that if he had not sat down and got advice and followed the advice. They have the advantage of their vanity. In fact, I was recruited or commandeered by the film industry to be an advisor to them back in 94, 95, from that time forward. You know, so I've interacted with these people, and like you say, they get long life because they're invested into their body. Their body's their product. And what saddens me is we lose our patriots because they're focused on the Constitution that's in Washington or Philadelphia, but they're not focused on their Constitution. So we lose giants like Ted Miller, you know, and Ralph, and all these people that have done all this work, beginning to understand the law or the Constitution or the sanity of man living together safely. But we lose them. So that's kind of my push.
Well, Tom, what's your thought on the vax then? If you got this health kick, I mean, this perspective. And by the way, Tom consulted with Dr. Deborah Day a long time ago and told her how to cure her cancer. And she cured her cancer by following his diet, and she claims with prayer and all that. But, you know, he did have some real testimonials of people turning things around.
I'd like to hear his take on the vax.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
Well, it's in the name. It's in the name, in your face. Vaccine. Does anybody speak Latin? What does vaca mean?
Dead?
Vaca means
ow?
Come on.
No, it means pandemic.
No.
It means cow.
Cattle.
Cow. Yes.
Yeah, vaca is the Spanish word for cow. Vaca is the Latin word for cattle or cow. Being like the cinema, it means to make something that produces a lifelike effect. So what is a vaccine? It is the blood or the life of a cow. When you're being injected, always from the beginning, it's always been the blood of an animal injected into you. Well, what's the risk when you do that?
Well, I would disagree with that. Most vaccines were egg-based.
Yeah.
They grew them in eggs. They grew the live virus.
Baloney.
Eggs, chicken eggs.
Uh-huh.
But what do you think about the vax? No, we're asking you, what do you think about the vax? Which is not a vax.
I don't need one.
Did you get one?
I don't need one.
Okay. Well, you're 84, so I'm not going to argue with you.
Uh-huh. The last vaccine I had was back in the military, and I ended up deathly ill for several weeks.
Well, that happened to all of us. When I was in the Navy, they loaded us up with everything, man, and we were sick for a good week. They couldn't match us at all.
Mm-mm. And see, part of my professional responsibility was working with the industries that produces the vaccine. So, yeah, some vaccines are cultured on eggs. They're cultured on eggs, but in order to produce the mass amounts of vaccine material, you have to utilize slaughterhouse waste. That's what that is. It's the trimmings, it's the offal from the blood, the crap from the slaughterhouse. And that's what is used as the base for vaccine. And that's why in the beginning...
Previous to 2021, now they're moving, everything's moving to mRNA.
Well,
Well,
doesn't matter what it is. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a flu shot.
You know how stupid we are.
I'm learning.
Right. Hey, guys. Okay. We'll keep Tom on. I know we got a couple more. Kim's been holding on patiently for a while, and I got Andy that called back. I'm sure he's got something to finish up the conversation with. But let me let Ken in here real quick and see what's on Ken's mind. And
well, let me just
stay on, Tom. Stay on, Tom. We'll just keep you on here. Ken, okay. How you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. I heard the beep. Well, while there's still time, what we need to do, first of all, is ask Lark for an encore presentation. So on three, we can all say, Lark, 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 as if we're asking for an encore presentation. So one, two, three, Lark, Lark, Lark. Come on, Lark, we need you, buddy.
Come on, Lark, come on for us.
All right. That went over like a lead balloon, but we're sincere, Lark. We need you to come on next Friday. I wanted to try to put something into vernacular that a lot of people in the RBN audience might understand and help communicate something. That is that everybody probably knows the story of the Garden of Eden, where the serpent came to Eve and said to her, "Ye shall not surely die." But I think what he really said was he came to her and said, "Don't worry, it's safe and effective. Ye shall not surely die."
Yeah. You got it.
And then a couple of things regarding that. It was a DOD construct, which everybody's aware of now, which then piggybacks on top of what people call the internet now, which, by the way, is amoral in and of itself. It's only a bad thing if it's used in a bad way. But, you know, it was called the World Wide Web, and, well, what does a web do? You know, it's designed to capture you so that you can be eaten. And it was called DARPANET, so another DOD construct, and I have a lot more to say, but we'll let it rest there and see what you guys have to say.
Go ahead, guys. What he said, take a turn each on that. I agree.
What he said. Well, they could have named it Mesh, but yeah, no, you're right. A World Wide Web, definitely. It was meant to catch a lot of people, most people, everybody, one way or the other. It is not just email.
The goal was to create a seed bank of people, just like they have these seed vaults in the Arctic and everything else and the stuff to preserve humanity for whatever. Well, they categorized everybody. They seed banked everybody. And we see with how they work it in China with WeChat. You know, you can't even daywalk in China without your place going on Google.
It's in its infancy still. I mean, to be sure, their plan didn't stop with what we have now.
Mm-mm. Oh,
and
one
if
of
you
the,
do look at the Chinese, the Chinese are the most unbanked people in the world. Like, all their media, everything goes through WeChat, just one app on their phone. Everything is WeChat. Their texting, their internet, their banking, everything is through WeChat. And they would like to do that here, you know. I mean, when you have all these, you know, single sites setting up, you know, early on catching everybody, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or Google or whatever. And so that now they're trying to nail that all. In fact, you'll hear out of Elon Musk, you know, he wants to have like an American version of WeChat. Where you pay for everything with your Twitter and all your communication is through Twitter and all that. But that's just like what we got now. I can't even imagine for what we got now. Be sure, these people got another 100 years of plans for the internet. I don't think that they're going to make it that far because I just don't think they're going to have the population to work with. But I can't even imagine where this thing is supposed to go.
Forgot to mention is that the way they suckered us all in, I mean all of us, even back in pot service, you know, plain old telephone service, was the guise of privacy. You know, we thought we were having private conversations. We thought we had private emails, only come to find out that, you know, they've been storing all of it. And that was the candy that made us get into the van kind of thing.
Franklin said, when you give up, I think it was Franklin that said, when you give up your freedom for safety and security, you deserve neither. And that's
right.
You messed that up.
Did I?
Yes, you messed that up.
Well,
that was something I could say. Tom, what's your thoughts on the internet? And then we'll see if we get Andy's last thoughts.
Those who give up their liberty for security deserve neither freedom or liberty.
Are you ready for this? Like
I want to hear your thoughts on the internet. You're 80, almost 84.
1963, 64, I would take my brothers up to the university, and they would talk to the computer in 1964. And we were using the web for the interconnection between, when I was doing work on the Mad Cow issue back in the 60s, early 60s, we were communicating with each other. Paul Brown in Montana.
Clarence. Through the university servers, correct?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Wow. In the 60s.
Even though some of the computer was a vacuum tube, still a little arcade. And I was sitting literally with my fellows in front of the RW300, that's a very big computer. I was recruited by the RAND Corporation. We were putting together the computing processes for the Sargent guided missile. And at the same time, we were watching on TV the ruse, the moonshot. We're laughing our butts off because there's the computer.
I got a weird one.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to laugh over the top of you. That's funny as shit right there. I hope I know where you're going. How...
I do. That's why I want to hear it.
I want to hear if the 84-year-old has the same take on a moonshot.
We were looking for the reefer, you know, like the trailer behind the tractor and the semi-truck and trailer, with the computer on board to guide that sucker to the moon and back. No way, Jose, I'm sorry. But we were all getting a kick out of it. Yeah, like that's going to happen.
So what do you think about
that? Was done through telemetry, so they radioed everything. So instead of having a computer on board, it was done that way, but not necessarily for the moon. But that segues into, did you hear about how our administration recently bought a bunch of old Russian aircraft? Anybody hear about that?
No, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, they bought a bunch of these old surplus aircraft from Russia. And so I was all scratching my head. Now, why would they do that? And all of a sudden, bingo, all those old Russian aircraft run on tubes. So they're not affected by EMP. I yield.
That, and you could also use them as a false flag. Strap a dirty nuke to the bottom of it and drive it somewhere and say, look, it's a Russian plane.
If the Russians did it.
Hold on. I didn't
hear the moonshot stuff that I wanted to
hear, but that's okay. Well, Tom, you were saying it was a bunch of BS, right?
No way it could happen. I can't.
Is that what you were saying, Tom?
So looking at the moonshot, the Earth from the Moon, the famous picture, the moonshot, the Earth from the Moon. What was wrong with that picture?
There's no stars.
The Earth's cut in half.
From the Earth is six times larger than the Moon. The picture that you saw, that was the famous moonshot picture, showed the Earth as the same size from the Moon as the Moon is from the Earth. The exact same size.
The Earth should have been
six times bigger. It should have filled up the screen.
Yep.
Oh, don't you know they just got the binoculars turned around?
There you go.
That's right.
Me and Joe used to stream about the moon lands. You know, so they got all the landing sites on NASA's website, and this shows all the tracks of the buggies and all the tracks of the people. And you know, it was funny as hell. We were looking at one of these and measuring, because you know now you got the like Google tools for the moon, and you can measure distances. And like the buggies, the buggy on one site, it drove 17 miles, but the men hopped around 143 miles.
What? That's crazy.
And you have Boeing's failure to launch this last week.
Yeah. It seems Boeing is having a problem with whistleblowers dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a dangerous job.
Damn dangerous job. Well, you know, you can whistleblow all you want to, but you will not blow the whistle on Boeing.
Nope.
They must have a vast pool of diversity hires for hitmen or something. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Y'all are talking over each other. Tom, go ahead.
Tom, go ahead.
And how did the astronauts survive Duran Rat space suit?
Right, if you go to the Smithsonian, you can see the capsule that they went through the Van Allen radiation belts on, and they didn't obviously know it existed. they would have been fried. They would have been fried. As a ham radio operator, I have a real issue with other hams thinking that they're bouncing signals off the moon, because I know what the ionosphere does. I use HUF radio with the same frequencies that NASA was supposed to be using.
What do you think happened to Gus Grissom? You think he knew what was going on? He was ready to spill the beans?
Whistleblower?
Well, it wasn't Boeing.
How about the astronauts that came back from the moon the first time?
Hell, they look like they all had like their families were being like pointed or drawn down on with machine guns by the army or something, and like they were looking at pictures of them. They were the most unhappy-looking bunch of guys I've ever seen. They looked like they were scared to death.
They knew they had to lie the rest of their life.
Boy, that didn't
serious.
Didn't they? Good
work. All right. Well, guys, unfortunately, the music's going to be here pretty soon. I really appreciate everybody calling in. Chance, great points. Andy, that was a really good point about the internet. Had us all thinking and talking about it. And
yeah.
Tom, I really appreciate you calling in. Ken? As always, appreciate your calls. And Jeff and Joe, tell us where you can find us. Find you guys real quick.
Well, you can find
Joe on YouTube. His name is Joseph Holly. That's Joseph with an E-F. Joseph Holly on YouTube. And you can find me either in my ham shack in North Carolina, or you can find me on BitChute. My channel name is No Bots Allowed, and my username is Black Pilled Ham.
And I'm also on BitChute under Joseph Holly as well.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining in. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Tom, Ken, Andy, catch you all later. Thank you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.